You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
As women, we show this face to the world that is trying to be so put together, and there's no way to actually like fix that without just coming home to our bodies. And having those things in me didn't allow me to do that. It's not everyone's journey, but I just now use my platform to say, when you're ready, I'm here.
Hey, we are so excited that Cute Booty Lounge, or CBL, as we like to call them, is sponsoring our current season. They are just the best podcast partners anyone could ask for. And CBL's founder and owner, Kelly Nishimoto, is launching her own podcast called Behind the Booty in 2022.
And we at The Only One in the Room are so excited about it that we're bringing you kind of a preview of what you'll hear on Kelly's show when it launches next year.
Yay.
On certain Thursdays over the next few weeks, we're bringing you one of these incredibly moving Behind the Booty episodes.
Yeah, and today you'll hear Kelly beautifully interview her friend Tamara Day, a bodybuilder who is gorgeous, by the way. I looked her up on IG. Mm-hmm. Have you seen her?
Yes, I was actually there for the interview.
Oh, that's right.
Her story is really important. It's one that needs to be told.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially when she starts talking about breast implant illness, which is honestly something I didn't know much about.
Everyone needs to hear this conversation, so we really hope you enjoyed this episode of Behind the Booty with Kelly Nishimoto.
Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Hi, guys. Thank you for tuning in and listening. This is Behind the Booty with Kelly Nishimoto, and I am your host, Kelly Nishimoto. I'm the creator of Cute Booty Lounge. From double extra small to triple extra large, we are a lifestyle apparel brand for women of all shapes and sizes. Check us out on Instagram at Cute Booty Lounge or online at cutebooty.com. We have a ton of options for every occasion. Cute Booty is not just a brand, it's a lifestyle. I want to thank the Only One in the Room podcast for hosting us. This is our third of six episodes that the Only One in the Room podcast is helping us to produce. This has been a fun journey so far, and we couldn't have done it without Scott and Laura's help. So thank you, the Only One in the Room podcast. To give you an idea of what to expect from our podcast, Behind the Booty with Kelly Nishimoto, we will be featuring women doing big things with their lives, from entrepreneurship to motherhood to life-changing stories and journeys and more. Let's take a deeper look into who these women are, what their story is, what is their why, and much more. With that being said, I'd like to introduce today's guest, Miss Tamara Day. Don't say anything. I want to tell you about Miss Tamara. She is one of my most favorite people, not just in LA, but in the world. She has a sweet, soft soul, but she has a badass undertone that has the ability to literally trudge through anything and come out not only looking gorgeous, but just being effing fabulous.
Oh, I love you, Kel. Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm so freaking proud of you for getting this started.
Oh my God, why are we almost crying? It hasn't even started yet.
Because they don't know. Like, we've really, I think, come together through this whole social media journey and watching you build out Cute Booty and the evolution of it. it's really inspired me to continue this journey with all the setbacks and kind of trials that I've been through in the last few years. And just seeing you stick it out has been amazing to me. So thank you for doing this.
Well, thank you. It's interesting to see, because you've affected me. So to hear that I've affected you, like I didn't really think about that coming into this. So
yeah, so people don't see this side of women. You know, we're always just out there kind of like scratching at each other.
Especially us,
especially
too.
In entrepreneurship, yes. And in the online space. So
because you're always hustling and people misconstrue that as you don't have time for them. And that's really couldn't be the furthest from the truth. I know your story, but I want to hear a little bit more about you. I want you to tell our audience your backstory.
Okay, so I don't know if we had met right when I first got on social media, but I feel like we did, but didn't actually connect in that way. I got on in October 2015, kind of on a whim, feeling like really disillusioned by the bodybuilding world. And I'd, you know, been an athlete my whole life and played various sports at a high competitive level. And when I got asked to do bodybuilding so I have a spray tanning business, and you know that, like a lot of people don't know that outside of social media, but that's what, you know, paved my way through college and everything. And kind of how I started in fitness was my clients were like, you know, why do you have these muscles and you're not doing anything with them? And I was like, well, you know, both my parents were professional bodybuilders, but I thought that world was so weird in the 80s. Like it was just
totally weird.
Imagine Muscle Beach, like greased up with little, you know,
yes,
sparkly bikinis. Like, I don't want anything to do with that. Plus they would, like my mom would come to my games and like, and I'm laughing my ass off wearing this because she'd wear a crop top and no bra. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, Ma, like, please don't do this. And then look at me like 20 years later doing the same thing.
But
I don't have kids
cute.
Yet to embarrass. So I look at back now, I'm like this buff chick who doesn't wear a bra, and I would be her now. So you get what you pay for when you say, I don't want to be my mom. We've talked about
girl.
That. But okay, so going back, so got basically dared by a client to do a bodybuilding show. And I'm just very impulsive like that. And I found a show that was in 5 weeks and I signed up for it, which is now looking back, the craziest thing I could have done because people train for like months, if not a year for their first show. And plus I'd never lifted before that. So I did my first show. It was the LA Fit Expo. You probably were there. I just didn't know you at the time because I know you're... Well, actually, you didn't get into fitness expos until the first one I did with you.
2016 yes. or 17, maybe 17?
Yes, right before I got really sick. Okay. Yeah, and that was a good one. Okay, so I did my first show and then did like 5 or 6 other ones. Did really well. By the end of it, I just kind of realized there was a lot of politics involved regarding people kind of promising you like that you could make something of yourself in this industry. So I put everything I had into it. I trained myself. I had my dad help me with training. In that world, like you have teams for everything and you're sponsors and you pay all this money into like being part of a team and they promise you like to climb the ladder easy. But what I found out was like your teams basically just get you placements in the competition. And then like I had judges reach out to me after and be like, look, I just want you to know like we placed you first, but we couldn't because we had already. Yeah. So I found that out and I said, you know what? This social media thing over here looks a lot better than trying to do this over here. But I knew nothing about social media. I literally didn't even have Facebook prior to Instagram. I wasn't someone who like took pictures of things and posted it because I thought it was fun. I just lived my life and I worked. And something in me was saying, create your own lane, Tamara. Like, you know, I'd wanted to do acting my whole life. I was in music and I was always here. Like, you just don't have the right look for what we want. You know, I just didn't have the right skin. Like, it was, you know, texturally, I had my acne and psoriasis I struggled with since I was young. And I really, you know, kind of a more curvy, muscular body and really curly, frizzy hair. And it just wasn't the look that they were going for in typical like Hollywood, you know? So after like the whole auditioning process and I said, you know, well, I don't see many fitness models that aren't like Victoria's Secret with a tiny bit of muscle and short. So I kind of just started like doing my own photo shoots with like recreating Nike ads type of thing. Cause you know, I'm a visual person and I'm creative. So I wanted to just start doing that. And I would talk to companies that were on the rise in social media, like supplement companies or clothing companies. And I'd be like, hey, my name's Tamara. At the time I was like Tamara _D. It was like so hard to find. You would never find it. And I would reach out to them and direct message them and be like, I know I only have 130 followers right now, but I promise I'm going to be something. I'm going to like make something of myself. And I would love an opportunity to work with you. And they just make, you know, like nothing. And at the time, Paige Hathaway was like the she had already had like maybe a million at that time. And I was like, that's what I'm going after. Like, and I just kind of mirrored what she was doing without the push of her companies that were really driving the sales aspect. I said, I just want to connect with people. And I just really want to let people in on my journey without knowing like what all this was going to be. I think it was just a real, like, I mean, now looking back, I know God was kind of orchestrating the whole thing. But yeah, I just set out to do that. And I had no idea what would come of it. I definitely didn't know I would end up like right here talking about the things that I have been through in the last few years, but I just hustled, you know, and I saw the market and trends and things, and I would just kind of mimic those. I'd hire photographers that they were on the rise and work with them. And I just learned the back end of social media.
At what point did you have like that tipping point in your social media advancement, I guess you would call it? Like, was there a defining moment or something that happened that really put your follower count up there and had people start noticing you?
Yeah. So that was like the dark part of my journey, actually. And people don't really realize that is nowadays you can kind of blow up, go viral, whatever, in very, I don't want to say easy ways, but there's all these trends, you know, and you just do one thing that like kind of jumps on that trend. And then all of a sudden this person has a million followers. And you're like, what do they do?
Oh,
like,
and Instagram is totally fucking with everyone right now.
Right. Yeah. So back then, you know, like it was a lot harder to get noticed or to do anything of substance to get people to really see you. For me, it was two primary things that kind of overnight grew me and changed the way I looked at social media, changed the way I looked at myself, and actually sent me down kind of a really dark path because of the reactions that I got from it. So the first one was a basketball video that I had shot with our girl.
That was the best.
Yes. She's a part of that journey. That's like crazy. She's the light in it, which is hilarious. I got to meet her out of it. So our mutual kind of really amazing friends.
Just to give our listeners like a view of Melody and Tamara. Melody, she claims she's 5'11", but I'm gonna just go ahead and say that it's 6'1". And you're how tall?
5'1".
So you have two really gorgeous girls with completely different banging bodies, dressed up.
And you've seen the video.
Seriously bawling, like seriously bawling. I mean, Melody looks like a runway model who just literally stepped off the runway and is shooting hoops.
I look like a tomboy with boobs.
No, you don't. That is so not true. Oh my gosh, the views we have of ourselves.
I know, right?
No, but this I know that video very well. Yeah. And I remember thinking, she is adorable. Who is that?
Thank you. Well, I was not ready for that response. And we got hired to be the March Madness of a calendar for... Honestly, the weirdest idea, but clearly they had a great marketing strategy. It was for like a sheets company, sheets and pillows. And they wanted to do a calendar and do different months with like the top models on Instagram. And they chose her and I to do basketball, thinking I could pull off playing basketball because I'm athletic. I was like, sure. The last time I shot hoops was like 92. So basically we get greased up, we're in these bikinis with like long blonde extension ponytails, just like Barbarella meets a basketball player. They had us in the cutest little setting on a basketball court for the picture, but we're waiting for like the videographer to come on his, you know,
their phone. I know. It's like a dolly.
Yeah. And so the videographer comes in with just like a steady cam kind of thing, and they have a ball. And of course she's like doing her dribbling thing. I'm like, what? Teach me some things, Mel.
She like grips the ball.
No way. She's doing the little spin. I'm just over there trying to stop her. And we legit played a little like one-on-one game. And I'm like sweating. It was really hot. And I'm like, the photographer's gonna be mad at me. But we were going at it and he filmed it. We had no idea like what he was gonna do with that footage because we're shooting a calendar and uploads a 1-minute video of it. And the internet went bananas. And I don't know if it would have gone as viral if this particular person, and I totally forget the name. It was like back in my trauma responses back then. I kind of store it away. But it was a former professional NBA player who basically was on an ESPN show, like an after the game show. And they're like, oh, have you seen this video? And the guy goes, yeah, if more WNBA players dressed like that, maybe people would be in the stands. And of course, all the like women's rights and like everything went crazy. So we were kind of looked at as like the women who were against women's rights. And there you have Mel over here being like so pro women's sports. You know,
so
I'm
pro.
Like just grow up playing all the women's sports. And I was so devastated. And I grew like 300,000 overnight, mm-hmm. but the comments and the hate that came through was so.
No, you like, read them all, didn't you?
I'm like, fell on there. Day. I'm like, no, but what I was really trying to, I spent hours and I would stay in my room and just bawl and be like, this was not how I wanted to be portrayed, especially because I'm like, you know, my heart and I'm so. I was a women's rights major in college. To have my quote unquote reputation scarred in that kind of manner when I tried so hard to embolden women, to empower them, especially when it comes to their physicality, to have them own their bodies at whatever shape they're at. And then you have this just litany of people thinking that I'm up there thinking women need to be dressed in bikinis to play a sport. And it was crushing.
And so you're forced to defend yourself.
Yeah, she actually went on TMZ and I didn't. I hid away from the world. So I took like 6 months off and was really devastated. And then I just collected myself and I was like, screw it. Like I've worked too hard and the women who like have been following my journey for the right reasons count on me to show up. And I want to show them that I'll show up against adversity.
I notice you are an emotional poster because when you don't post, I know that you're going through something.
Thank you for noticing that. It means you see it, but
I'm also an emotional poster.
I know. So I've also taken time away though to collect what I want to say. Cause I've realized in the past I posted for myself more than others. It was like something I needed to hear at the time or something I was going through. And it ended up really connecting with people. I was a storyteller from the beginning. I never strayed away from writing novels, you know, mm-hmm. and then it wasn't when people were doing that. They were just like palm tree and a sunflower. like that was their caption.
It's so hot today.
Exactly. Where I was giving, you know, my heart out there. And that's why this community of women built around that notion of being vulnerable and being transparent. And I didn't know that was setting the stage for what was going to happen with my life, you know, 2.5 years ago, but I was always going to be that. I knew I couldn't get away from who Tamara is at her core. I know mm-hmm. I was going through a lot in terms of letting society affect how I felt about myself, how I viewed myself and how I walked in the world. But I wasn't ready for that kind of spur of.
So you took 6 months off.
Yeah.
And that's how you dealt with it. How did you get out of that? And then we want to talk about your next journey.
I think that because at that time I didn't have like a spiritual base to me at all. You know, I was born in a very atheist family from Holocaust survivor grandparents. And like that just added a whole other layer of how I viewed myself in the world, how they taught me about humanity. They're the most loving, amazing people. But I just had some reservation around my idea of God and all these things, which we can get into when my spiritual journey happened. But that particular time, it was a lot of like the self-help stuff. I just threw myself into reading everything I could, into philosophy and theology and going to the stuff I knew, which was how to heal yourself, work on yourself, like business books, like everything I could to be like, I'm going to prove that this didn't affect me. You know, like mm-hmm. all the external stuff. I was like, I'm going to get through that. It was all I knew at the time. I knew how to get through things by just barreling through. I just threw myself into building the fitness business, which was Brick House Body. So it was training girls online to kind of just better their mentality around how they viewed themselves with their training styles. And it was a lot of emotional work that I was doing that I helped women with at the same time. And then I started building Privé. And that kind of all took so much of my time and energy that I didn't really have any. I was in survival mode after that. Like I suffered from a lot of depression and anxiety. And in 2017, 18, I developed extreme like panic attacks and I didn't really let people in on too much of that stuff. I did talk about dealing with depression and entrepreneurship and being alone through a lot of it. But I was now looking back, like very selectively vulnerable in that process because I was worried about opening it all the way up and then never being able to come back from it or having people see me as weak. And even though you're pushing through, like I think just letting people know everything that you're going through can feel really scary. And especially in a world that they only get to see like this one side of you. So now I'm like, I don't even care at all. So when you see like the gaps of time between my posting, now it's me just pressing into my spiritual side because I'm like, I can't be on this platform 24/7 the way I was responding to people all the time. And even though it comes from a very caring and loving place on both ends, usually it's emotionally exhausting and it's just not like conducive to me actually like finding peace in this industry, if you will.
And when did you start having like a physical reaction? And then that physical reaction led you into your next chapter.
Yeah. So I think I pushed through sickness for many years without knowing it. Like I would go to fitness expos, I would do fitness shoots, get hired for various jobs and be like, exhausted. The fatigue would just be like out of this world. I didn't understand. Like you wake up exhausted, you go through the whole day exhausted. But then late 2017, early 2018, I started developing bronchitis, like midsummer, just like coughing up blood. And I just incessant cough that would almost knock me out. Like I would go get dizzy from it and sinus infection. So anything upper respiratory, developed pneumonia, had that for about 6 months straight. They were just like popping me with penicillin shots and antibiotics. And I'm not like, I don't take Advil. I don't do any kind of over the counter drugs or anything. And that was scary to me. I got like every test done known to man. I try to take the most holistic approach to my health just from all the research that I've done and my family background. But I was doing scans of all types of things. And nobody ever said that it could possibly be my breast implants. It was not even a iota in my mind, like not even a thing. It wasn't really a thing on the internet. Like no one was talking about it. So I felt very in the dark. And that whole year to me is just, it's opening up now with the healing work that I'm doing, but it was a blur because I had lost my memory and I couldn't like articulate words that I had known my whole life, people's names. I would be having a conversation like this and then go, oh my gosh, like what is her name? I'd have known her like 20 years, you know, someone like that. It would trip me up, but I wouldn't let people in on it because to me, like having an ability to communicate and having a level of intellect, like it was so important with what I did.
So where did you hear the word breast implant illness and how was that? You're like, holy shit.
Yeah. Because it was
what I have.
It was exactly like that. It was 2018. I had been sick for probably 2 weeks straight, like on the couch, slept probably 14 hours a day, not just the night. And I was like, something's going on with me. I'd been in and out of the emergency room for various symptoms throughout my whole body. And I decided the best thing for me to do, and this like sounds really depressing now, but that was my mindset. I moved out of my place with my ex and I, even though we were in a good place, I just felt like I had nothing left to contribute to the relationship, to my life. I had stopped working, lost all my contracts that I'd had with companies. And I got an apartment, like someone's room I could rent. It was like the crappiest apartment in Winnetka you've ever seen in your life, like bugs everywhere. It was horrible. It was all I could afford at the time. And I sat in the middle of the living room. It was pouring rain. It was midnight. I had just gotten home from spray tanning a client. I was exhausted because that was the only thing I could do in a day. It was like one client. I felt like I physically hit my
limit.
I'm
done. That's it.
It was it. I couldn't breathe. And I just laid on the floor crying. And I asked like, God, if you're real, like, can you tell me what it is? And I will fight it. Like, if you know me, I will do anything in my power. Just tell me what's going on with me. And no lie, it was like this audible voice that came through me that I just knew it. He said, take them out and I'll do the rest. But I kid you not, I had no idea what he was talking about. I'm like,
like my eyeballs.
Okay. So I passed out the next day. I didn't have those, but yeah, I kind of was like, well, I don't really understand this, but I just knocked out. And the next day I was on Instagram. Do you know the Medical Medium?
Yes. Yeah. I love him.
Yeah. So I was like doing all his detox practices because I thought I'm going to heal what's going on with me. At that point, I'm like vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free.
Celery juice every morning.
Celery juice every morning. Pills. Everything. I was the person and I'm still so sick. So I'm like, what is not working? So I'm on his page and the first thing that pops up is this girl's post. And she said, I've been doing his protocol for X amount of weeks for my breast implant illness. And she could have written it 100 times. Maybe I had seen it. Maybe I never had. I just saw it and I went, let me click on this. And then her last post, her most recent post was every symptom she had had before she got him out. And it was like light bulb, ding, 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 ding. And I knew. I just sat there and I bawled and I was just like, thank you, God. Like now I know, A, my life will never be the same because now I believe in something bigger than me, which was the biggest blessing in this whole thing. And B, I'm going to get these mother suckers out as soon as possible. But I knew it was going to change my whole life because my whole identity around my physicality was, it wasn't my boobs, but they were such a big part of what had made me a fitness model, what had led me into this trajectory of this world and gave me kind of the confidence to step into it. And because, you know, before that I'd grown up like more muscular and being made fun of for being kind of boyish figure. So you get these and you think like, they're going to change the way I view my femininity and
all those things. And it doesn't at all. You still feel like, because I'm the same way. I would rather play than fix my hair or do my makeup sometimes.
Yeah, and that's the crux of it, was learning like the why in which you get certain things done to yourself or do certain things to fix, alter, and perfect this aesthetic that we have, instead of really digging in and being like, what's on the inside that really matters. But you're so busy just trying to fix all this, saying like, hopefully one of these things will fix what the heck I got going on, or just push through it and shove everything down. But when I got them out, it like erupted everything I had shoved down my entire life, you know, traumas and all these things. And I was like, I got to face them now. But instead of facing them right away, I just threw myself into the only thing I knew how to do, which was communicating with everyone. So, you know, I had filmed the whole surgery. I took them.
You did?
I took them.
How have I not seen this?
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with surgery, girl.
Okay, if you're obsessed with it, you'll be fine with it. It's jarring. But I wanted girls to know what it was really like. And I was so in the dark about what it was going to be like that I just felt like, well, let me just dive right in. No tiptoeing. And I'm going to be the first one to kind of show people what this is really like. And I took them through so candidly and raw through that whole process of the physical surgery, but also the emotional side of what happens after that. And not everyone's story is the same, but the unique thread with it all is that as women, we show this face to the world that is trying to be so put together, and inside we're like, just all these pieces are being like, don't go here, don't. yeah mm-hmm. and there's no way to actually like fix that without just coming home to our bodies. And having those things in me didn't allow me to do that. It's not everyone's journey, but I just now use my platform to say, when you're ready, I'm here. There's hundreds of thousands of women that are also here to share their testimony, to be there as a light for you, to say that you can make it on the other side. And the biggest thing I've learned in all this is to be just fully understanding that even in the, when I feel like I've done the healing, there's like layers to it. So to never feel like I've fully like embraced that I'm through this process. I'm 2.5 years out from the surgery. I'm like 7 years out from thinking I had healed some parts of me. Mm-hmm. It's just so many, there's levels and so much growth.
It's like your skin sheds. What is it? Like every 7 years you like regenerate your,
for me, if you have psoriasis, it's like every 30 days. It's ridiculous. But yeah, something like
that. Great. So you just have rebirth and growth, and this is amazing. You're like on a speedy path to it's like elevated spirituality.
Totally.
So speaking of elevated spirituality, that is your next journey. And I think that's the one that you're on now. That is the one I feel the strongest vibrating off of your body. Yeah. I can feel it. So talk to me about that. How did that happen, and where are you at in that process?
Yeah, so that was that come to Jesus moment on the floor of that apartment that was the catalyst to everything that has happened since then. And I think we had talked about recently that I go to Bible study with my pastor. My pastor is my lifting coach, and he had been my lifting coach prior to any of this, prior to me getting sick, and such a good dude. And he was like, I think God brought you here. And I was like, yeah, whatever. That was like 7 years ago, beginning of my fitness career. I was there on a shoot. And I was like, you don't know. I will never be here. This is not my thing. And lo and behold, like sometimes God just has to like break his most stubborn children. And I really needed to have my knees broken on this one, because I was going to keep fighting and thinking I could do it all myself. And that's been the biggest blessing of all, is I would take all the pain again, all the physical, emotional, psychological pain again. And it was bad. And like, if I really relive it, like sometimes it did not feel like I was going to make it through, but I would do it all over again to come to this place of knowing who God is. Because prior to all that, I was just like so carnal, and I was so about this life and making the most of it and live your best life now and all that mumbo jumbo that the motivational world tries to throw at you now. But it's not about that. Like, we are in a full blown spiritual warfare right now.
Yes, we are.
And the fact that people don't see that God has put it on my heart that it is like my mission now to be in that position, to use my platform. And I get silenced all the time for it. And I was prepared for that because when I would talk about the FDA and Big Pharma mm-hmm. with the implants, I would notice that my page would just get like completely shut down and people would be like, where'd you go, Tamara? I'm
it
like, oh, I'm here.
It's insane how they are just, what is it called?
Censorship. When you shadow ban.
No, when you shut people down, like you're not allowed to say anything. But mm-hmm. they do that too. They make yes. you feel like that on social media. Anytime you have a feeling about anything governmental,
because they own all the platforms. But you know, I do believe that what needs to come out will come out. And I've been so, I think, the best word is empowered through my faith in what has said will happen as I see it happen. I'm go, you know what? He gave me this platform. I can use it for as long as I can use it for. I will connect with as many people as I can and tell them about, you know, my testimony in hopes that they can help them return back to themselves and then, you know, go on their path. But it has brought me the most incredible community. So I don't feel alone anymore. And through this time that we're in, because I have such a separation with people that I love, my family so much, has it's driven a wedge between us. I've realized, like, thank God for this crazy ass platform of social media, because it has really allowed me to see that there are so many people out there that share in the same beliefs and see, have eyes to see and ears to hear what's going on. And that to me is like, it is beyond unfathomable. I never would have thought that Tamara, who's sitting here being able to have this perspective and connect with people in this way, was the same girl that got onto the platform.
So what does this Tamara right now sitting here have to say to the Tamara 7 years ago that girls who are in the same position 7 years ago that you were can learn from?
Man, like literally say to myself,
like what would you say?
The first thing I would do is I would literally give her a big old hug and be like, you do not have to you don't have to make this hard. You know, like I just thought everything had to be so difficult and I had to do everything the hard way. But I would want to tell her and other girls like me kind of going after their dreams and that it is not about what you can get from it, you know, because so much of me going after all these things was to try to make people see that I was worthy of love, of attention, of just being present in this world. Like so much of my traumas had told me that I wasn't. And I see that amongst so many other women I talk to, is that all the things I do is for this external validation. I would say really get solid on what you're doing and the gifts that you have and how you can bring that forward, because it will flow out of you so organically when you get aligned with what those gifts really are.
Yes.
Instead of looking at what I can do because of the response that I get from it. And I was searching for the response because I felt like that was truly the only thing I was worthy of. But that took me all the way up to literally probably like last week in a session I had with my, I don't even want to call him therapist. He's just like this amazing coach person that I talked to about my blockages. And I had realized that I had spent my whole adult life trying to prove to myself that I was worthy of success in my mind, of doing something and getting a reciprocation for it, like whether it be financial or just support. But I was always just pretend, like I always felt like I was this little girl pretending to be an adult, and like making it work in the world was just purely off of survival. I was still in my mind this 13-year-old girl who was working jobs so that I could provide, and not realizing I carried her through, even through all the times I didn't need to feel like I was in survival. I just always felt like something's going to happen. They're going to figure out that I don't know what the heck I'm doing,
oh,
you know,
that
imposter syndrome
so
thing.
Real.
And I think it happens to a lot of us just in the world we live in. It's like, you're never going to have enough underlying knowledge, experience,
I'm totally
whatever.
A fake designer. I don't even know
we
how.
We just go
I
off
even,
sheer. Yeah. Like the gifts and charismas that you were given, that God gave you, that are so incredible. Your intuitiveness, your creative abilities literally have people jockeying you because they can't come up with it themselves. And you know, that type of thing can't be, it can't be replicated. And we know the truth of what we have to offer. And if I would have just stood on that and not tried to get the world to understand who I was, but for me to really get it,
being so authentic. Yes. No one can ever duplicate your authentic self.
And if you don't see the kind of worldly success from it, that doesn't mean you're a failure, and it doesn't mean to stop doing that. You know, I think that would have been my biggest takeaway for myself, was don't try to like pivot and do it a different way just because the world doesn't know exactly how to take who you are, what you have to offer, because eventually someone will. Or the only one that really matters is how God sees you. And he's like, I purposed you for that. Like, trust me, it's going to work out. So, but it has taken me a long time, and it's not something you can teach. You got to walk it out. I know. The whole process is just walking it out, trudging through the mud through it. So,
well, I want to thank you so much. You literally, I text you, I'm doing a podcast, can you be a guest? Okay, when do you want me there? You literally did not ask one question. So I want to thank you for that.
Of course.
I want to thank you for always supporting me. I hope that you feel the same love and support from me as well. Could you please let our listeners know where they can find you? And you can shamelessly shout out all your businesses. I love it.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, I second all that. And I, of course, would never question your intentions with wanting to do something with me. And I'm always down for whatever you have in mind, because your just heart and your soul is so amazing. So you can find me basically on Instagram. I have not delved over to TikTok yet. I just can't even fathom it. Tamra Day, TamraDae, TamraDae.com. That's for like all my business consulting. And I've got to tell you about all that new world that I've moved into. And Prive Sunless, PriveSunless is my self-tanner. It's organic, all natural. It's the world I've been in for 17 years. Crazy to say. But yes, thank you so much for trusting me and just going along with this whole thing. I'm so, so proud of you.
You can also follow me at Kelly Nishimoto or KellyNishimoto.com. Also my company, CuteBootyLounge.com or at CuteBootyLounge. This is Tamra Day on Behind the Booty with Kelly Nishimoto. I want to thank you again to Scott and Laura at The Only One in the Room. Goodbye, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Please tune in next Thursday when Kelly sits down with her good friend, Mark Montano, a former fashion designer and now one of the world's leading crafters and craft bloggers.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.